Thank you for listening to the Jason Gregor Show podcast. Hope you enjoy it. It's brought to you by Lakewood Chev. If you're looking for something unique, Lakewood has a large selection of special edition trucks by Chevrolet. Life is too short not to be special. Check them out at Lakewood Chev. With the Masters starting tomorrow, and also big news, folks, Dustin Johnson suffered a fall today down some stairs and, quote, hopes, quote, to play tomorrow. So we'll see how that. So keep that in mind for your pool or not. Woods, I want to talk about golf and why handicaps overall, like for the, haven't gone down very much in the last century, even though we're more, you know, into fitness and everything else. Why haven't handicaps overall come down?
Okay, well, here's the answer, and it's kind of an interesting one in my mind, but golf is difficult, Gregor. And, you know, just to give you a little background, there was a panel of sports scientists that set out to define golf as a sport, or is it a highly demanding skill? And the answer is it's both. And the panel looked at 60 different sports, actually, and they took 10 points of criteria into account. So they looked at athleticism, endurance, strength, power, speed, agility, flexibility, nerve, and durability, and hand-eye coordination. So of the 60 sports they scrutinized, the number one thing that sort of required like all of those attributes and the greatest physiological demands was fighting, like MMA fighting, for example, or boxing. Number two was hockey. Then our golf fit in at number 51 out of the 60. It was kind of low. And then fishing was number 60. So the thing that was kind of interesting to me is the one consistency amongst the panel, all these sports scientists, they said that they all agreed that golf's precise synchronized movements, the mental demands, and the training required to master the repetition of the golf swing under pressure, that was the very essence of athletics. So it's difficult at the best of times. Other reasons that handicaps haven't come down, average players, they play, Gregor. They don't practice. And when they do practice, they practice what they're good at. They bring out the driver, and they're trying to bang that over the fence. All the technology in the world won't help find motor skill ability around the greens. So that area, 75 yards and in, the chipping, the putting, all that sort of thing, that's where people need to spend time. And that's just practice. A lot of the technology is kind of built into the higher range clubs, like your drivers and so on, your long irons. And lastly, I think the average golfer is typically just in poor shape. So, you know, scores don't really come down if you're not sort of, you know, fit at some level. It makes a difference.
Yeah, that would make a difference. It's a very good point. Now, when we talk about the fitness and everything, then how can you help your game for, because hey, not everybody's, hey, I want to improve my golf game, so I'm suddenly going to work out. I don't know if it's that correlation, but to get better at golf, what are some things that physically you need to do that's going to actually lead to helping your golf game?
Okay, well, here's just a couple of notes here, a couple of points to drive home. Get golf strong. Research evidence in this area suggests that there's a really strong correlation, Gregor, between muscular strength and improved golf performance. And this is especially true for like an aging golfer, you know, past the age of 50. Stronger golfers have a more repeatable swing pattern. And when you can repeat your swing, you're going to be more consistent. You have a lower handicap. Your scores are lower. That's just fact. You also, if you're stronger, you swing faster. So with your swing speeds up, it creates distance. And again, stronger golfers have fewer swing-related injuries, and they have better balance. And balance is such a key to good golf. So strength training, key. So here's the kind of things that you should focus on. Leg and hip or trunk strength is critical. So pick any multi-joint lower body exercise that you can do, like without pain, without hurting your knees, like any squat variations or lunge patterns would be really important. And just over time, start to progress the weight loads you use for those exercises. Then for your upper body, just incorporating a basic horizontal push, like some sort of pushing action for your chest, and then a basic pulling action for your back, like a rowing action of some sort, really, really important. And then the other thing that's kind of a neat little movement pattern to learn is learn how to do internal and external shoulder rotation. And for our listeners, just if I can explain that, if you were just to like put your elbow in a 90-degree position, your arm like right against your body, and you've got that 90 degrees, and you were just waving your hands out away from your body with your elbow close to your body, That's an internal and external shoulder rotation exercise, and there are many, but that helps with you taking the club away to get a good shoulder turn, and it helps when you're trying to sort of follow through with a golf club if you have good internal and external shoulder ability. So it helps with your accuracy. So it's really key. And then the last thing that you'd want to do is maybe learn how to do some form of rotational strength drill. So you can use a medicine ball or use a cable system and learn how to put some sort of external weight load on your body while you rotate, sort of mimicking the golf swing. Do that. Try to allow 6 to 8 weeks of that type of training, you know, before golf season. You could expect an adaptation to take place where you get stronger, where it's going to improve your game. And then the other thing, strength train in season so that you reduce your risk of golf injury. And it offsets all those swing imbalances and all those stresses if you continue to do a little strength training through the golf season. So that would be my advice, Gregor.
Hey, Jeffrey, that study you were talking about in the first answer, where can people read more about it? Where can you get the results from that study that, you know, they focused on all the, ranking, fighting and hockey and stuff?
Oh, okay. Well, I can post that for you. I'll have to dig it up in my archives, but I do have access.
Yeah, okay.
But,
yeah, post it and then I'll tweet about it. Yeah. Send that to me on Twitter later. I appreciate it. Now, we talked about improved fitness will help your score because a lot of people are like, I don't have time to work out, but I want to golf, and I'm just going to go buy new clubs. do you think it'll improve their game?
Well, I think the average player will hit drivers and the long iron, still hit those clubs with greater ease, you know, lending a lot of satisfaction to the experience of playing golf. And we've got much larger sweet spots in all those clubs, so there's a lot of gratification in that. But unfortunately, this does not equate to better scores, Gregor. Statistically, it's the short game dysfunction that leads to the higher scores. If people would practice like from 75 yards and in, practice their putting and spend as much time on that short game as they did whacking their drivers, scores would come down. But I think if you were relying on equipment alone, you might be chasing a pipe dream.
Yeah, no, it's true. It's definitely easier to. Now, the other thing we didn't even talk about though is a proper warm up in golf is gonna allow you just to, if you want to hit the ball farther, that's gonna make a big difference because you're gonna be limber by the time. Because most people, you know what? Okay, tee off times. What time, boys? Okay, we're teeing off at 12:20. How many times your buddy pulling the parking lot at 10 after 12? Right, comes in, gets a sandwich, comes to the turn, the first ball he hits is off the first tee.
Well, I'd have to say that happens probably 99% of the time for most people. But here's a quick little one. So you take the longest club in your bag, like your driver, for example, and you hold that over your head with a nice straight elbow, and you've got like your hands at the very end of the club, and you're going to hold it like high, and you're going to try and squat with that club, like just doing an overhead squat, we call that. And when you come up out of the overhead squat holding that club, you're going to turn to your right, and then you're going to turn to your left. You're going to do that 10 times. If you're rushing to the tee, I mean, the first thing you're going to have to do is engage those hips. You're going to have to do, you know, rotation of your torso. So that's a great little drill that's going to help to dynamically stretch everything out, and it's specific to need. That would be better than doing some sort of what we call a static stretch, where you're just going to hold it in place for 20 or 30 seconds. And that's not what you're going to do when you get on the first tee. You're going to have to generate some force. You're going to load up, and you're going to create this powerful move toward the ball. So you want your warm-up to kind of mimic that a little bit. You want it to be golf-specific or sport-specific. So that's how I'd instruct people to go as far as the quick warm-up for the first tee goes.
Quick warm-up is better than no warm-up, that's for sure.
Yes, sir, it is.
The other one, I think big one is for people, when you get to the practice range, don't just line up, you know, and just keep hitting balls quick one after the other.
Yeah, no, listen, this is a good one, Gregor. So with that, you know, I see this happen a lot. So what happens when you start to rapid fire golf balls is that you start to break down. We lose postural control. And once you get tired and you lose postural control, all you start to do is reinforce bad mechanical patterns. And that's the worst thing you can do for trying to fine tune a good golf swing. So what I would recommend is like throw 5 balls down, go through your setup procedure and hit more slowly so you don't lose postural control so that you're reinforcing good positions. And that's what golf is all about. And if you can reinforce those positions and mimic them all the time, your swing is then going to become more repeatable. And that's what golf is all about. It's repeating good patterns so your ball flight is consistent and you're not going off the grid. The minute you start to fatigue, that's when things start to go a little bit sideways, and it's not conducive to good low scores.
Woodsy, as always, appreciate it, man. Thanks for your time.
Okay, great, Gregor. Take care, and good luck with your Masters pool, pal.
Oh, hey, it's great. Justin Johnson, I didn't have him in my pool, so who knows? That could be a benefit. We'll see.
Okay, good luck.
We'll see.